There we go. Good morning again. Hey, so we are in the middle of a dating series, which is appropriate since we had Valentine's Day. Anybody have a great Valentine's Day? Anybody have a terrible Valentine's Day? It's all right. Your mama loves you. You at least have that going for you. Hey, if you weren't here last week, David Peniel, who's the high school director, he came and he kicked us off talking about who can find godly romance. Who is ready to go and pursue that? And he laid out a bunch of things. If you weren't here for that, I recommend you going to check that out. Today, without going into super recap, we are going to understand when. So today, I'm going to tell you straight from God's word exactly when you can start dating. You know what it says in here? You know what it says all throughout Scripture, overwhelmingly. You may have seen it, you may not. You know what it says on when you can date? Absolutely nothing. We're like getting all kinds of things over here. It says absolutely nothing of when you can start dating. Does that mean that the scripture is worthless? No. But sometimes we can take it as, well, if it doesn't tell me exactly what I can do, then, well, I can kind of do whatever I want. We think that the Bible's just this list of do's and don'ts. It's not. Hopefully you don't think that. Hopefully we've seen it in other ways. But the honest truth of what we're going to go through today is the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say the word dating. Dating is a new phenomenon. Even in the last 100, 150 years, before that, it didn't exist. What we know of today of how relationships come together and form and go through this whole process that now texting and however many text threads you have and how many snaps that you've got with each other, all that is new. And the Bible doesn't speak to that. So if we, as believers, don't know we can look at it in the Bible, well, then maybe we just go look at the culture. Because the culture talks overwhelmingly about love. The Bible speaks of love, but man, sometimes it's just catchier and it seems a little more relevant and hip with the times if we look at what the culture says. And so one of the things that the culture does really well is love songs. And so we kind of define our theology or when we should date or how we should feel or what we should do, when we should act on those emotions by what other people sing. And so here's one maybe you've heard that's popular right now. That may dictate how you think you feel. Feel it, yes. Come on, get those snaps going.
I will not give you up this time.
You know you want to sway. Come on.
Darling, just kiss me slow.
You probably played this. Maybe it's somebody you like in the hall. Yeah.
And in your eyes, your
right? Don't pretend like you don't know it. Don't be awkward like, oh my goodness, can we play that in church? So that song is called Perfect. And so because of that and others, we kind of go on this quest of, yes, that perfect one, she's out there, he's out there. And seriously, there were probably some of you who boldly, like a guy, walked up to a girl, just your phone out, playing this song. Yeah, you're it. Yes. But you're like down here. You're like, yeah, you're it. Yeah. And you're just like, you're my perfect one. And at the beginning of the song, he's looking back going, we were just young and in love. We had no idea what we were doing. But we're looking for that perfect one. Ed Sheeran is hot right now. Not looking, but like he is topping the charts. Another one you may have heard that makes you just kind of groove a little bit. Can we do that one? Oh, yeah. Come on, you know you want to dance. Don't just let it be me. All right, we'll cut that off. So that song is like super catchy. I know you hear it and you want to stand up. I do. If I was you, I'd be like, oh yeah. Like you just want to be drumming on the guy in front of you or something. All right. Now I will say that is a super catchy song. There's a specific spot I want you to hear and it is a little risque. But here's a little spot near the chorus. Check this out.
No, I want your love. Your love was
come on, you can dance. Get
it. Somebody like me. Yeah. Come on now, follow my lead. I
may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and
I know you
put
know
that
it.
Body on me. I'm coming now, follow my lead. I'm coming now, follow my lead. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body.
Okay, so why are we playing that song in church? I ask that because your parents are going to ask me that. Here's why. All of you know it. Most of you, I can't say that. Most of you know it. Most of you, if not all of you, have heard it. Most of you, if not all of you, have danced to it. I have. It is so catchy. It sounds so good. You just want to sing it in your sleep. You want to just dance down the halls, just shimmying. It's a song about dancing with somebody that you want that person to make you feel good. And we think that dating, because of the songs that we're hearing, that how somebody looks, how somebody dances with us, interacts with us, goes on a date with us, whatever it is, we think that because of their shape, because of their attractiveness, because of something they have that we want, they're going to fulfill us. Not only is the beat good, but we want what the lyrics say. I don't play that in here to go, yeah, that's truth, go find it. I play that in here because that influences our thinking. That the shape of somebody, the attractiveness of somebody, something they have will fulfill us and satisfy us. That's why we look for dating. Another one that's popular right now. Check this one. So high. Maybe not as well known. Here's what that said, if you didn't hear it. All right? I'm playing these. Stick with me. All right? I'm playing these because I want you to hear what it says. It's like she keeps going, you, baby. You. You, baby. You, baby. She's going, hey, you. I'm talking to one person, this person that I want to give all of my affection, all of my life to. You. She says, one hit of you, like a drug. She's talking in the lyrics before. She's talking about drugs. One hit of you, I'll never be the same. You're going to change my life. You're going to make me high. You're going to set me free. We think, because our culture tells us this, this is what love is going to do. This is what a relationship is going to do. This is what my boyfriend or girlfriend is going to do. Another one that I love. Right here. Chainsmokers, baby. Can't get enough of it. Crank that. Come on. Yes.
We were staying in Paris to get away from your parents. And I thought, wow, if I could take this in a shot right now, I don't think that we could work this out.
Come on.
Out on a terrace. I don't know if it's fair, but I thought, how could I let you fall by yourself? Well, I'm wasted with someone else. If we go down, then we go down together. They'll say you could do anything. They'll say that I was clever. If we
I want you to hear right here.
Then we go down together. We'll get away with everything. Let's show them we are better.
Oh yeah, so good.
Let's show them we are better.
All right, here's what that said. If you were just jamming and lost in the music and lost in love. All right? I'll tell you, that song, again, it's catchy as all get out. You want to scream it at the top of your lungs. You want to go just run down a street wearing a cape. And it's like, yeah! That song starts, hey, you and me, we're everything. Let's get away from our parents. Hey, our parents are wrong. What our parents think of you or of me or whatever, they don't have it together. Let's leave. Let's run away. Hold on. If you were like me in junior high, you've thought that. Not all of you have. But some of you think your parents are crazy and you have the right answers and you could just flee with how you feel and be okay. Here's what that song says. We'll get away with everything. I lost it. I wrote it somewhere else. We'll get away with everything. We'll show them we are better. We'll get away with everything. We'll show them we are better. Some of us have this mindset. Again, we're talking about not just dating, but godly romance, love, God's intention for a man and a woman, and in the context of what he has designed for them. And since God's word doesn't talk about dating, we tend to be influenced by the culture and really influenced by our feelings and how the culture perpetuates our feelings and goes, no, they're right, they're good, go for them, get away from your parents, go live in Paris, you'll get away with everything, you'll know that you are better. And then maybe you're riding along with what's number one on Spotify right now? God's plan, God's plan, God's plan, God's plan. Oh yeah, you've heard it, it's catchy. God's plan, play it. What are you, who are you? The radio? God's plan. All right?
She said, do again, you love me?
Hold on, hold on, hold on. So maybe, hey, so maybe you start to think, yeah, my feelings, what I want, what I desire, that's God's plan for me. What I think, what I feel, what I think I need right now, what I want right now, this person that I think is going to satisfy me right now, maybe my feelings are God's plan. Maybe that's God's will for my life. I don't care what my parents say or other people say. This is God's plan. That seems like a little much, but guys, this is how much culture, specifically music and movies and all of these romantic love stories, influence our thinking as junior high kids and even as adults in this room. We believe that what we feel might be God's plan. There's one lyric in this song that's just too good not to play, even as bad as this song is. Again, not an endorsement, but here's what it says.
She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom. I'm sorry.
That's right. That's truth right there. Not really. I love that because here is Drake going, hey, kind of. I'm going to take this whole thing out of context from this song, and we're going to use it as a teaching point. But here is Drake in that little thing, if that's all you heard, saying, hey, I don't love you. You're not going to fulfill me. Here's what I only love. I love to sleep, which we could go on a whole other message on that. I love my mama. I'm sorry. I'm going to follow God's plan. I wish that's what that song was saying. It's not. Straight up, it's not. Again, I'm going to say very clearly, the songs that I played are not an endorsement from us, are not, hey, go listen to them, they're good. They're me playing them because we believe the lies. And I'm not saying you, I'm saying myself included. We believe the lies in that song, and we rock to the beat and think that we should live our life off that gospel, that truth, instead of what God has given his life for through his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't say dating. But what the Bible does clearly give us are principles and wisdom for how both men and women should live their life. It's not, the Bible's not a playbook of, okay, who should I date? How long should I date? When should I start dating? When am I going to get married? How do I process that decision? But we can look at what God says about love, of how God thinks of us, of how God calls us to treat people of the opposite sex, of how God says we are to carry ourselves as men and women, of what God says about marriage. The Bible speaks overwhelmingly of what we should do. Todd says it this way in Real Truth real quick. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what will happen in our lives for everything, but it's a guide to help us seek the Lord in all that we do, to seek his goodness and grace. It doesn't say dating, but it speaks of love and romance and relationships everywhere. And so this book is not worthless, but we got to dig so that we can understand who is God and what does he have for us, and not just take the low-hanging fruit that we think our culture is giving us. So before I give you when, I want to just ask you very seriously right now, who thinks they are ready to date right now? Honestly, you think you're ready to date? All right, hey, back there. Is there anybody else? We've got three hands. You think you're ready to date? Yeah? All right, can you come up here, buddy? Come on. And will you come up here, please? Come on. Come on. We're going to do a little something. Come on up here. Come on up here. Hey, is your small group here? They're not here? Are your buddies here?
I don't know you.
How many friends do you have here? One, just bring that whole row. Come up here, guys. Is your small group here?
Yeah.
They're here? How many are here? Two? All right, you two, and then you pick one. Who's your favorite over there? Okay, here we go. Come on up here. Come on up here. All right. All right, come on. Hey, it's going to get real. If we're talking about when, let's really talk about when. Hey, are your small group leaders here? You don't have a small group, right?
No, I do. You, not here.
They're not here?
Yeah.
Are there any leaders that you know that are here? Any guy leaders?
Steven,
come on up here, buddy. Is your leader here, leaders? They're not here. Any girl leaders that you know? Story? Yeah, Story was just up here. Come on, Story. You want Story or do you know another leader?
I don't know another leader.
You don't know another leader? Story, are you still here? Yeah. Come on up here, Story. Come on. All right, man, what's your name?
Alex.
Alex?
Yeah.
And you think you're ready to start dating right now?
Sure.
Yeah, great. Here we go. Tell us your name.
Sarah.
And you're ready to date right now?
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do a little thing together. So, Alex, you hang here with me. Sarah, all of you ladies and all of you gentlemen, go back there. We're gonna do a little something here with Ben. Go on back there. All of us go back here. Yeah. All right, so, Alex. Let's see here. How old are you, dude?
13.
13. What grade are you in?
Eighth.
Have you ever been in a relationship?
No.
Never been in a relationship?
Oh, yeah. Once in kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Good. My man. My man. All right. Good. And you're ready to date right now.
Why not?
Why not? Then let's do this thing. We're having a wedding. Come on.
Nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Oh. All right. While Alex is getting dressed, I am a licensed minister of the gospel, and so I am licensed by the state of Texas as a minister of the gospel to perform a wedding. They are ready, according to what they're saying and professing themselves, and so we are going to do a wedding right now. Alex, are you ready? You're ready for this wedding? You said you wanted a relationship, and this is where it goes. You're ready right now?
Yeah,
here we go. Let's bring them in. We're gonna start with the parents of the bride and groom. Right now are the leaders, but bring them on in. Let's bring in the parents. Let's go ahead and cue that music. I'll let you guys know when it's time to stand.
I found a love for me. Darling, just
She's
dive
late.
Right
She's late to the wedding. This is why you arrive on time.
Follow my lead.
It's awkward at that point.
Well, I found a girl.
How beautiful is this?
Beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were someone waiting for me.
Right,
we
come.
Were just kids.
Here come
when
your
we
buddies,
fell
man. These are your groomsmen. These are your groomsmen
not
right
knowing
here.
What
come on
it
in.
Was, I will not give you up this time.
Come on over here, guys. Come on over here.
Darling.
Up on the stage, please. Up on the stage. Come on up here. Here are the bridesmaids. Come on in, ladies. So beautiful. Up here. Come on up here.
All
right, ladies and gentlemen, you may stand for the entrance of the bride.
Dancing in the dark with you between my arms.
There she is, man.
Barefoot on the cross.
Stunning, right?
I whispered underneath my breath, you heard it, darling, you look perfect tonight.
Well, I found all right, stay down here. Come on up here.
Stronger than anyone I know.
Y'all can be seated.
He shares my dreams.
Y'all can
I
be seated. Bring that down. Friends and semi-family. We've got the music. Thank you for being here today. We are here to join in holy matrimony, Alex and Sarah, who have come together for the purpose of marriage. Here is what the scriptures say. Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Are you guys ready?
No, not ready.
No. Kind of some tears in your eyes. We should have talked about this before. Alex, are you ready? You're not ready? We're here, so we're doing it. Do you have the rings? We have the rings. Good. Do you want to choose your flavor? Purple?
I don't know.
Purple goes with your flowers. Let's do that. Here we go. Here we go. Alex, you can start. Here we go. If you'll place this ring on her finger. Place this ring. You can hold the bouquet, Charlie. Thank you. Okay. All right. No. It's the ring. Okay. I, Alex. Take you, Sarah. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we'll keep moving. He actually blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Let's do you, Sarah. Here we go. Come on in here. Well, you can put this on his finger, please. It's tropical fruit. It's a good one. Oh, the pinky ring? What are you, the godfather? I, Sarah. You're not going to do it.
No?
Is this moving a little too fast? Yes, it is. Hey, give it up for all of our people up here for playing along. Come on in. You guys can go in the back and put your stuff in. You're off the hook, man. You're not married. You're not going to get married at this point. Way to go. Good job.
We are still kids, but we're so in love.
I didn't say I
did.
So, hey, that's why we started with perfect. We were just kids when we fell in love, right? Hey, here's the thing. Okay, so, here's the thing. Only three or four people were brave enough to raise their hand, and maybe they're the only ones who think it. But if we took an anonymous poll, I bet that there are legitimately people in this room who go, yes, I'm ready to start dating. I'm absolutely ready to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, to be in a serious relationship or just a flirty relationship, whatever. I am mature enough to make my decisions. Maybe my parents agree with me. Maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. This is what I feel. She's so hot. He's so nice. He's the captain of the football team, whatever it is. And we let our feelings and our current circumstances go, yes, I'm ready. And so, guys, the reason that we just went 0 to 60 to a wedding, because today we're looking at, hey, when should I start dating? When does God say is the time to start dating? And what you need to know is, to know the when, you've got to know the why. To know when you should start dating, you've got to know why that you should start dating. And here's the deal, guys. The purpose of dating is marriage. The whole reason, again, dating is a new phenomenon. The whole reason that that exists, or courtship exists, or even in the scriptures you can see that they got to know each other for a time or were joined together. It was meant to be wed together. That scripture in Genesis, I read at weddings. Therefore, what is going to happen to a man and a woman who want to pursue oneness and relationship together? A man will leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They will be joined in a covenant of marriage. That's the purpose of dating. And why we did that little silly thing is to go, hey, that's what you're pursuing. That's what you're going for. When you say, yes, I'm ready to embark in this together, you're saying, that's the end goal. And so what I want to ask you is, are you ready for that? No. You saw Sarah up here like, oh my goodness, why did I raise my hand? She was in tears. And guys, I'll tell you in the audience probably, that probably felt a little uncomfortable. you're like, oh my goodness, what's happening? Why are we doing this? I can't believe we're witnessing this. And so, guys, I want to ask you, why are you dating? Or why are you wanting to date? Why are you wanting to pursue a relationship with somebody? Here may be some reasons. To find identity, to not be made fun of. Maybe it's to just go against what your parents are saying and to be rebellious. Well, because everyone else is, and so I don't want to be the weirdo. Oh, because he's cute. Because you have feelings that you can't explain, and so the right thing would be to act on them. Because you want to look like a man. Maybe you're getting made fun of that, well, you can't get a girlfriend, so maybe you think that that's what you have to do to look like a man. Because you want to be valued and cherished. You want to feel valued and cherished. Or maybe you just think, well, because I can. Why wouldn't I? What do you mean, when should I date? Whenever I want to. I'm just going to do it whenever I want. These are some of the reasons, and there are a ton more. But are any of these because you are ready? Are any of these when you should start dating? The answer to that is any of your answer because I'm ready to be a husband or a wife and to stand before the holy God of the Trinity and be held accountable for my actions and the way I treat somebody else in the context of my relationship. Are you ready for that? Because, guys, our culture has made dating this kind of like, hey, just whatever you feel, whatever you want, whatever seems right for you at the time, who cares? It's your life. You do you. Go for it. And, guys, the scripture puts a high bar on relationships. And the bar is someday you're going to stand before God and be held accountable. And are any of us perfect? No. But you're going to be accountable for your actions and the way you treat anybody. Friends, family, people you date, especially if God has marriage for you. And so here's what I can't do. I can't tell you when you should start dating. But I can ask you to think about it and take it seriously. When will you be ready to date? When can you date? Probably not now. Probably not yet. When are you ready? Most of you saw they were not ready today. And is there a process between that? It doesn't just go in the context of 5 minutes. Oh, I'm married. But it goes faster than you think. And too many of us downplay dating and don't give us the seriousness that it deserves and the seriousness that God calls us to. Because he is holy. And for those who follow him, we are called to be holy as he is holy, not perfect. But walking in the perfection that he has given us in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's not just for salvation and churchy things, but bleeds into everything we do, especially our dating. Well, hey, I'm not trying to date. I'm not actually trying to have a relationship. We're just talking. It just feels nice. We're just flirting. I mean, we're not really dating. We're just a thing. Not a thing, a thang. We're a thang. It's not, I mean, there is a label, but she's not my boyfriend. She's not my girlfriend. She's not my girlfriend. He's not my boyfriend. We're just a thing. We don't know how to define it, but we're not dating. No, mom. No, dad. We're not dating. We're just a thing. Oh, no, I'm not looking for a serious relationship. We're just hooking up. Some of you guys use those words and different definitions to kind of go, oh, no, I'm still obeying my parents. I'm still following the scriptures. It's just this little, we're just having fun. Guys, there's a reason we didn't call this a dating series. We're looking at godly romance. What does God call you to as a man of God, as a woman of God, to steward your life now and to prepare to how to be a husband and how to be a wife? When are you ready today? I want to show you briefly a story in God's word that gives us some great principles that we can learn from to begin to process that with ourselves, with the Lord, with our small groups, with our families. And so quickly, we're going to go through Genesis 24. Genesis is an Old Testament, first book of the Bible. And it looks at this time when a guy is about ready to get married. And so we see what's going to happen. And it's here when Abraham is super old and he is trying to find Isaac a wife. And so quickly we're going to go through. Abraham's old, advanced in years. And Abraham was blessed. So Abraham says to his servant, put your hand under my thigh. What? Weird. There's the Bible. It's like, I just stop right there and I'm like, what are we talking about? That is a sign back then of, hey, I'm going to trust you with something. It's like a handshake. It's like taking another bro and like grabbing him by the head and going, hey, I'm talking to you right now, except it's the thigh. So that's what he's doing. Put your hand under my thigh that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites where I dwell, but you will go to my country, where I am from, to my kindred, and you will take a wife for my son Isaac. So Abraham sends his servant to go find a wife. So the servant put his hand under his thigh. I got you, bro. I'm your guy. I'm going. And he swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels loaded with all the kinds of goods and things from his master. He's got all this stuff that he's going to go and find this woman and woo her. Then the servant prays, Lord, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. Show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside this spring. The daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to this young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, she says, drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he'd finished praying, Rebecca comes out with her jar, and she was the daughter of this guy in town, so beautiful. She was a virgin, and she comes down to the spring, fills her jar, and comes up again, and the servant hurried to meet her and says, please, give me a little water from your jar. Please, 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 please. She says, drink, my Lord, just as he prayed, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she'd given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water too for your camels, and until they've had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar, ran back to the well, and continued to give drink to her camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Here's what the servant says. Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. I'm going to stop right here. Here we are, where an old man is trying to find a wife for his son. And it's not, hey man, what do you feel? Who's hot out there? Who's the most popular in the crowd? I don't know if you've been paying attention, but it is drenched in prayerfulness. It is drenched in, Lord, what would you have? Lord, will you show me? Lord, will you guide me? Lord, will you protect us? And the Lord answers the prayer with a beautiful woman who is willing to serve. So what happens is this woman goes back to her house and tells her family. Her brother's like, wait, what? Who's this? Who's this, bro? Oh, okay. He's a good guy. All right. So you know, he goes through that whole thing with the family. They retell all that had happened. And he explains, my master is sending me to find a wife for my servant. And so then we fast forward and you're going to read it this week. Verse 50. Here's what it says. Maybe. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. The wife of your master's. So here is Rebecca. Take her and go, let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. This is of God, her parents say. This is a good thing. In the context of community around her, this is something that God has for you. It is good. Go. And in 57, they said, well, hey, let's call the young woman and ask her, what do you think, Rebecca? Will you go with this man? And she said, yeah, I'll go. And then she goes and she meets Isaac and they are married and it is a wondrous reunion. And you go, okay, great. That's the Old Testament. That is 2,000 years ago, more than that. What does that have to do for us? I'm not looking for a marriage where my dad's going to find me a wife. I'm not looking to be just sent to some guy. Okay, but in this are principles that you can understand. When will someone find godly romance? When will you find godly romance? The first one is when both of your parents approve of the relationship. Similar, just as what David talked about last week. You have got to have a conversation with your parents. Godly romance, dating God's way, pursuing someone for marriage, because that's the whole point, is not done in isolation. It's not done just based on your feelings. It's done with people who love you, who are looking out for you, who want the best for you, not to just rip you off. Abraham had Isaac's best. Laban and his dad had the best for Rebecca, their family. Number two, someone will find godly romance when caring friends approve of the relationship. This servant goes and is looking and is trying to find this woman, is praying, Lord, will you show me? He is seeking wisdom. He is seeking wise counsel. He is asking God, who is it, Lord? That's her. Others in Rebecca's life, hey, this is a good thing. We approve of this. We think this is a good thing. People are coming together and going, yes, this is not just Rebecca going, I think I'm in. This little country girl. And Isaac going, yeah, she's smoking hot. Woo! There are people. Guys, lean on your small groups. Hey, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm thinking. I think I'm ready. What do y'all think? Is now the time? Well, what do your parents think? I don't know. Well, hey, go to them. Lean on each other. Number three, when will someone find godly romance? When God is the clear leader of the relationship. Again, feelings did not dictate what was going to happen. God clearly laid it out. So guys, seek the Lord for how you feel now. And then years from now, when you think you're ready to be married, seek the Lord and what he has for you. And he will guide and direct you. And here's the other thing. God's not trying to rip you off. Prayer does not mean that you're going to get married. It just doesn't. But it does mean that you get to be connected to the God of the universe who loves you and deeply cares for you and is going to give you far more than you could ever ask or imagine in relationship with himself. And then finally, when will someone find godly romance? Man, when they're ready to commit. And so when is the time? Probably not now. If the purpose of dating is marriage, then you saw two of your peers standing up here and going, oh, this is not a good thing. And that's easy to say in a room full of people when there's the weight of that of like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. But when it's just you and your thoughts or it's just you and someone else, the enemy can come in and use all kinds of temptation and all kinds of thinking and all kinds of lies that the culture makes us believe, our feelings make us believe, all of this stuff. To make you think, I'm going to do what I want. I know what's best for me. So when will someone find godly romance? All of these things. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. To not just know when, but to process through and think through and decide to wait for godly romance until all of these things are present. It's one thing to know this stuff and go, okay, whatever. Put it in a binder and journal and we'll move on. But you have to decide, well, when am I going to process this with people? When am I going to take my feelings and give it before others? When am I going to choose to trust God or just trust myself? And so I would encourage you to wait. The story of me, my wife, we started dating when we were juniors in high school. So you go, well, great, you did it. Worked for you. Well, my wife and I both said, I don't think we're going to counsel our kids to do the same thing because we did not do it the right way. We did it in ways that there were times that did not honor God. And so I can't tell you when. Your parents can, and I would ask you to trust them. Your friends who love you can help you process that. I would ask you to trust them. The God of the universe who loves you will guide you, and I would ask you to trust him. And guys, this book doesn't say dating, but it will lead to abundant life. And so I'd ask you to read it and follow it. And trust it. Let me pray. We'll roll out of here.